coming. Pass is picked off.
Invisible. He's going to go looking again, and it's picked off by Stephon Gilmore down on the right sideline.
Into the end zone, and he's picked off. Back the other way.
Oh, you can talk about Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I am.
Oh. Is this a public service announcement? I was going to bring it up to rattle you, but I'm glad that you're just going to rattle yourself.
We saw a lot of Taylor Swift last week, and I have worked out exactly what's happening, and I love it because I know what she's doing. Let's go back, right? I'm going to take you back. Okay. February the 12th of 2023. Every Eagles fan, worst day, perhaps since Nick Foles lifted the Lombardi, as Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are celebrating on the field in Arizona after defeating the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles fans around the world, desolate. Except for one. Because she knows exactly what she's doing right now. Because what's the one thing we know about Taylor Swift and the NFL? She's from Philly, and she's admitted that she's an Eagles fan. So she spent the summer just sliding into those DMs of Travis Kelce and making it all look so sweet at this early part of the season. Walking out of Arrowhead hand in hand, escaping away in a car. But you know what Taylor does? She uses those breakups to fuel her music. Well, this year she's using a breakup to fuel the Eagles back to the Super Bowl and to the Lombardi Trophy, because come January, she's going to turn around to Travis and say, we are never, ever getting back together. And that man is going to have an ACL tear of the heart. He is going to be broken, battered, bruised, a ruin of a man, unable to play to his full potential in the playoffs. And of course, unable to play to his full potential when the Chiefs and the Eagles meet in a rematch of Super Bowl 47 in Vegas coming up at the end of this year. And not only that, but Taylor, she's an Eagles girl through and through. She needs a man a little more centered in her life. How about a BFF bestie? Because I don't want to break up his marriage. Of the center of the Philadelphia Eagles, she turns to Travis's brother, Jason. She turned down the Super Bowl halftime show because she knows she's going to be sat in a box with Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie as the final member, the hidden member of the full Chiefs takedown plan 2023-2024, as the Eagles go back and take a second Lombardi trophy in Vegas this year. All thanks to Taylor, as the Swifties and Eagles Nation unite as the loudest possible voices on the planet, on social media, and take down the NFL. Taylor, you did it for us. I know you bleed green. I love you.
It's quite the rant.
Well played.
She's from Philly. I genuinely had the moment of clairvoyance. I was like, oh, she's just taken down Travis. It's fine. This has been a bee in her bonnet.
She's undercover.
That wouldn't have been out of place on like a US morning sports broadcast, that sort of level of monologue. I'm very impressed, Wilson.
I've been thinking about this all day, and it all makes so much sense. If she's really an Eagles fan.
It's just so different to how I thought this would go. I thought that you were going to deliver a rant about how you hated Taylor Swift, you hated that the NFL was focusing on it,
on a different podcast. I went off on one, called her as bad as Mahomes' wife. But I had the moment of clairvoyancy. I've realised the game plan, and Taylor, I'm with you on it. Don't worry. Just wait until January.
But also, it's good that that's taking the attention away from Brittany Mahomes, so we haven't got to see her horrific antics at all.
Yeah.
Because more important person, well, to the media, more important person to have a look at.
Yeah.
So there's at least a silver lining, no matter which way you look at it there.
Well, I mean, the difference is that Taylor Swift's she's kind of earned the right to be on camera and do whatever she wants because she is like the biggest pop star in the world. So
Brittany Mahomes
being Patrick Mahomes' wife, that's her claim to fame, I suspect. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we call it Tacy? Tracy? Like what's it going to be, the little double up that everyone's going to have for it?
Trailer.
stick his ass in a trailer. He's going to be done once she's done with him. She's going to send him through the ringer. And it's going to also, I'm hoping there's like a Yoko Ono effect. because I watched the video of him and her walking out of the locker room, and he looks to the camera and does that look of like every guy that's a little bit ashamed of the woman he's with. And he shouldn't be. She's amazing. Taylor's a great musician, beautiful woman, all that kind of stuff. But he did that little like slightly embarrassed look, and that's a man who's already under the thumb of Taylor Swift, like they all end up being. And she's gonna be the knife that slices the Chiefs locker room chemistry in half. You know, when her and Brittany Mahomes don't get on, suddenly that's Patrick and Travis at war inside that locker room. Like, well, your wife didn't call my girlfriend back, so that's kind of rude. It's going to destroy it. And Andy Reid is unfortunately just a poor innocent bystander in this whole mess.
Jeez, what other dark agents have you got working around the league for the Eagles then? Because I feel like you need to infiltrate the 49ers locker room as well with some bad bitches.
Well, you think Christian McCaffrey's going to not be the rebound guy come playoff time? She's ditching Kelsey early January. We just need McCaffrey to be in her clutches for the NFC Championship game and it's all good. This is game over.
Like it.
I see you and I recognize it. And I wanted to talk about things that we were most and least surprised about so far in the season. And I'm just going to add to my most surprised list your rant, because it just went completely against what I thought was going to happen.
There was actual logic to it, which doesn't usually happen with you.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed
coherentness,
it. And, yeah, and it was positive as well. I'm normally a very negative person.
Cover the bases nicely.
It was great.
Impressive. If you want to see the video, head to the Return
Me
the
and Jazz
Picks.
Both like conspiracy theories as well, so
head to the Return the Picks Instagram. I'm making a video of the whole thing. I'm putting all the pieces together.
Oh, you should. That's perfect. Yeah.
As I say, and I think the reason why I was so angry about it on Sunday was because in the back of my head I was like, I'm sure she said that she's an Eagles fan. I've heard this before, and I just felt a bit betrayed by it. But it's fine. I get it.
Have you heard this? Have you seen about this?
Have you heard this? Have you seen about this?
Sneddon's got you doing this. Have you heard about this?
Sneddon's got you doing that as well. Yeah.
She moved to Tennessee when she was really young, though, right?
But there's a line in a song. There's a line in a song where she says, sat there wearing my Eagle shirt, and she confirmed on stage, albeit on stage in Philadelphia, may have been pandering. But she was like, everyone's wondering if I'm talking about the Eagles, or if I'm talking about the band the Eagles. Guys, I'm a Philly girl. It's the Eagles. And it was like everyone went crazy. So yeah. Oh, and I'm rocking the new Kelly Green as well.
Finally, yeah, notice the greenness.
Up. Yeah, they're nice. They're nice.
And is that a new cap to go with it?
Nah, this is the draft one that I got quite a few months ago, but I did get it imported from Australia because you couldn't get it in snapback in the UK. So yeah, it's really weird. But less about my shopping habits and more about the NFL.
Well, I can segue into talking about the Eagles. Are you going to have to get Swift on the back of a jersey by the end of the year?
I mean, initially, that was my reaction after the weekend. If that's the only Swift I want to see for the rest of the NFL season.
Best, only Swift and Kelsey you want to see.
Yeah,
is,
that's the Swift-Kelsey duo is those two. Yeah, I mean, he looks like a beast.
Oh,
absolute
man.
Beast.
Completely rejuvenated, like different player. I mean, it kind of always had that potential, and he was a really high pick, wasn't he? Was he a first rounder or
maybe second?
Yeah, maybe second.
I remember him being highly touted, and people were really excited about him coming out of college, and just didn't have the team around him. And then goes to the best rushing team in the NFL, probably, and just
turns
a corner. And
you saw the block Landon Dickerson put on one of the ones that he sprung. And Landon Dickerson pulls out to the edge and blows somebody out the water again. And like, he and Kelsey in that offensive line just... I was worried that they might not be able to do it after last year. It's a grueling season. Kelsey looked like he was retiring and everything. The reason why we're winning games this year so far is because we can run the ball as well as we have done. Jalen isn't there, and I get it. You know, you pay a guy, maybe there's a little foot off the gas. Also, the heartbreak of last year, it took him a little bit of time to warm up, like a couple of weeks last year to really get into rhythm. He was finding AJ Brown really nicely, but then kind of got locked in on him a little bit, holding the ball a little bit too long. He's taken a step back from the high level of last year, but if they can get him back again to the level of last year, this run game's as good, even better, perhaps. I mean, I loved Miles Sanders, but Swift is providing that and then a better break out through the line whenever they want it, kind of thing. I mean, it's 1 and 1A, those two, from last year and this year. And
well, you're playing average for the Eagles compared to last year, and you're 3-0, and you've won every game convincingly. So, like, when you start clicking through the gears, I mean,
I wanted the score to be
no end in sight. Is there,
I wanted the score to be bigger against the Bucks because we had like quadruple the yardage and time of them, but didn't finish stuff off. And that's the only worry. That's always been a worry with the Eagles, even going back to the West Coast offense with McNabb and Reed, was you'd get inside the 20 and suddenly the West Coast doesn't work as well once you're 15 yards out or so and trying those little zippy slants and stuff. So I want to see drives finished off. We had a fake attempt on the kind of rugby scrum push on Hurts, the butt push, whatever we're calling it. That didn't work and stuff like that.
Brotherly shove, I've heard it called, that I really like.
The what?
The brotherly shove.
I like that. Brotherly shove. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's just the best
brotherly
play,
love with a brotherly
best play
shove
in the NFL right now. Yeah.
I mean, it's almost unstoppable at times. You know, the Bucks held up on one of them and then it was like, okay, we'll just go again. And then you get in. So it's fine.
I saw a funny thing on Twitter of how do you stop this? And one of the people said, just give one of the defenders a knife.
Yeah. Yeah. There's three teams undefeated, and I think all three of them have been the best three teams to watch so far this season, without a doubt.
Yep, it's fair.
Niners look incredible. Like,
who's the third one, sorry?
Miami.
Oh, of course, Miami. Oh, who've got a fucking crazy matchup. What an amazing time for us to get Bills playing Miami. They're both flying. Like, that is going to be a sick game. It'll probably be, you know, the
really
NFL
flying.
Well, they're
doing well, but they're not doing the Bills they have done the last year.
They were bad in week one, and they got better.
They were really good in week three. I think they're starting
Washington
to come up to
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Their defense is a lot better this year from the rankings, like jump that I've seen, and the stats they're getting. So I don't know. It's a really interesting time to like to play, and we'll get to see them again later in the season.
I mean, they're
well,
the best so two teams in that division. They're the ones that are going to be gunning for first and second, and the Bills with all the expectation, and Miami are like the let's have fun team right now. They're the most
they're
enjoyable
so
team
much
to watch.
Fun.
They're so,
much
so
fun.
Fun.
Can you imagine being part of a team putting up 70 in an NFL game?
Like, if Sean Payton
the backups on, and Ollie was messaging me and you, Jazz, saying they brought the backups on and there's still what is like 14 minutes left or something.
It was 15 minutes. They brought them in at 14 minutes 55 in the fourth quarter. And it was like, there's a quarter of this game to go and we're bringing the backups in.
And then they scored another
Mike White throws a 68-yard touchdown. And you're like, Mike White, like Jets reject, who they would love right now over Zach Wilson, I'm sure. But Mike White and Akane, the rookie running back, blowing up for 180 yards or something like that in the end. I mean, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, he scored, if you had him in fantasy, he scored 51 points.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
51 points.
But also, they're really fun. Like, I'm kind of okay. Sam has picked up on this I'm going to be a Dolphins thing. So she wanted to watch the game. So I had Red Zone on her iPad and we had the Dolphins game on the TV. And I barely watched Red Zone because watching the Dolphins was just really entertaining. You can't not enjoy football played at that level. And like Waddle's not in that game. It doesn't matter at all. If Sean Payton coached in Italy, he'd be sacked this week. Because
it's so funny.
The only thing I hated about the Dolphins was they didn't go for the record. I loathed that because Sean Payton last year disrespected the head coaching kind of community when he called out Denver and said it was the worst coaching job he'd ever seen, which coaches just don't do, right? So I would have liked the young, arguably hottest coach in terms of like, he's the new McVay, he's the great mind out there right now, Mike McDaniel. And he's genuinely building this team in a similar ilk to the Niners, but arguably more exciting and better with the talent that they've got on the roster. I'd have loved it to be him that puts on 73, breaks the record for the most points put on a team in a regular season game against a guy that disrespected the coaching fraternity as a, I didn't have to do this, but I did because you went against the rest of us and stepped out of line. So I'm putting you back in line with this. I didn't like the not going for the field goal at the end when you're in field goal range and taking just 70 points and not disrespecting Sean Payton. Because at the end of the day, he's disrespected himself by having a team out there.
He did say about karma, though. He didn't want the bad karma of ruining the scoring record, which I don't really get.
I don't get any of it. I also think, I know that it seldom comes down to like points scored. But there is an argument to be made that even if there's a infinitesimal like chance that ever comes into play, the idea that you wouldn't take it, like it's not, if it was a playoff game, like you'd feel like, okay, maybe we don't need to do this because we don't want to like embarrass anybody else and we've already won the game. But you're in the regular season, like you get as many points as you can. You've already put your backups in. So you're already like doing everything you can to rest your starters. You're not going to get anybody injured. Yeah, I totally don't get it. I mean, the only thing about the record that it's from the 60s, isn't it, Ollie? Or thereabouts?
Yeah, it's an old.
So like, I mean, who gives a shit? It's the record really, isn't it? Like that's such a different league. Like it's not, it barely got the same fucking teams and stuff.
It was more difficult to score points back in that day. It was a running kind of game. This is now, there's pass interference all over the place. You're getting free plays all the time for these guys. It's probably easier in this day and age to do it. You know?
I don't know, but
I'm guessing Tyreek Hill would get destroyed back in the 60s.
Yeah. I'm guessing there was more of an imbalance then, kind of like when you had like in college, you had like the Ivy League used to just like, Notre Dame used to beat every college team for about 5 years in a row and stuff. So
yeah, when the guy lining up as it you has got like a job the next day that he's got to go to the bank and like work as a teller or something, that's why
it's so crazy is that like the difference. I know Rosenthal always says this on the Around the NFL podcast, is like he's like the difference between like the really worst teams and the best teams is just not as much as you think it would be, and like some, that's why we tend to get like crazy results in the NFL. And you'll get teams like this year. I wanted to talk about like the Texans, the Cardinals, like teams that you thought were going to be like the worst thing you've ever seen. And they're fine. Like they're not going to go to the playoffs probably, but like they're representing themselves, putting up numbers, like they're not flaming trash bags. Yeah. So like you shouldn't have any team ever getting beaten by like 50 points like that. Mm-hmm. It should not happen, let alone a Sean Payton team.
Well, it comes down to scheming and also the players buying in to some extent. I mean, if you look at the McDaniel offense, it is just a Shanahan offense, but looks like it's been tweaked to be slightly better in my eyes.
It's like a Shanahan offense on cocaine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A very good description. Or speed.
Yeah.
It just finds holes and lets people run. And then also the benefit he has compared to the Shanahan offense is Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are two receivers with such speed that there's very few defenders that can have any hope of keeping up with them. So if you have them in motion and moving around and having a head start before against a DB on a standing start, they're going to burn them every single time. And if Tyreek's covered by two, Jalen Waddle will be free somewhere else. And he could take that the whole way on a slant that goes 5 yards and take it 90 yards the whole way. So you have just absolute speed that can just destroy any defensive scheme. It makes it really fun to watch. And I stand by the pick I made at the start of the year that the Dolphins will win that division.
Yeah.
It's looking good now. I mean, that was before Aaron Rodgers got injured. Yeah. So yeah, it totally looks even better now. But
currently the Vikings are the ones screwing my 18 bet at the minute. It's looking like I might have a chance to win that divisional one.
Can I
just read off a couple of names quickly, though? Right. Tre'Mont Smith, Patrick Surtain II, Frank Clark, DJ Jones, Jerry Jeudy, Russell Wilson, Javonte Williams, Courtland Sutton. There is something inherently wrong in Denver, like there was something inherently wrong in the New York Jets. We'll come on to that in a moment. Because if you can't get these players, who we have seen that they can be great players on a field working together, there's a problem within the franchise and the mentality that maybe will take Sean Payton a bit more time to sort out. But for them to have 2 years of being this bad, and I know obviously we're only 3 games into a season, but it looks pretty freaking bad when you give up 70 points and like, I mean, it easily, without a Mims touchdown return, kickoff return for a touchdown, that's suddenly 70-13, which is looking even worse because that's not even two touchdowns that you've got that game. So there's something really wrong and ill in Denver. And I don't know if it comes down from like the John Elway years of how it was run at that point, and they made so many bad decisions with quarterbacks and picking the wrong guy in the wrong place and people getting frustrated. There was that quote from one of the players, now I can't remember this week, but he said, I've been here like 6 years and all I've done is lose. And it's
7 years, Garrett Bowles. I was going to bring that up. I mean, you look at how dejected he was at the end of that. And considering if you think that he's been there 7 years, he would have been drafted the year or the year after the year where they won the Super Bowl. So you think, I'm going to a team, it's got Von Miller, it's got decent players, and you just end up losing. And if you have players coming out saying that.
God, how long ago really does that seem? Like the NFL
forever.
Changes quickly where like when you think how good that team was. Or that
and
defense
that was Cam Newton MVP year.
Yeah.
So 2015 was that?
Mm-hmm.
8 years ago.
Jesus 8 years ago.
Christ. Yeah, the it is quite funny. You brought up Nathaniel Hackett. Like it is quite funny. I'm obviously, as a Falcons fan, I really don't like Sean Payton. And I think he's smarmy and he's not very likable. He never has been. I do think he's a great coach. So I think that it's not necessarily his fault, but it is funny that he laid it all at the door of another coach last year and probably burnt a load of bridges doing it. Like, just he didn't need to do it. It was like a ridiculous thing to do. And then this year he's 0-3, just coming off one of the very worst defensive performances of all time, and things don't look any better. So yeah, it does feel really like karma coming back again. It's good fun.
726 yards put on them.
Yeah. Is that a record, by the way?
I don't think it is. They didn't mention it, so.
Didn't they? How many yards did you say there?
726. They must have had a rushing yards record. 350 of those on the ground. That must be it.
I mean, that is crazy. I remember Matt Ryan throwing for 500 in a game.
No. Offensive record, NFL record, 726.
Oh, really? Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
There we go.
Of course, the most points in the game was 72. Back in like 1939 or something like that. 1938.
Yeah, that's pretty tasty.
Second, I got the list here. Here you go. Second on that list was the Rams on the 28th of September, 1951.
What have you got? What's the most modern one, like where we can actually kind of...
Oh, the most rushing yards for a team in the game. The Baltimore Ravens, 404 yards.
That must have been with Lamar?
2021, yeah.
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 So the most recent time we can think of where that yardage was matched was 653 yards by the Texans on the 18th of November, 2012. You've also got the Ravens, probably that game, actually. 643.
Things that surprise you in the NFL, Dave. Finding out the Texans are the most recent ones to put up.
Yeah.
When did that?
The Texans, not Watson, led.
Is that,
well.
Is that a training camp? Scrimmage? Or what's
going on? I've got the teams it was against, too, if you're interested.
The Detroit Lions.
But also, it doesn't mean anything.
The Texans against Jacksonville. There you go. And okay, they've had 653 yards and they only won it by 6 points, 43-37.
Jesus.
Yeah.
God damn.
Well, you know what's savage as well? Just like going back to the original point about the like Broncos being terrible now, is Russell Wilson actually had like probably his best game. And like his stats this year have been better. I was looking at his stats next to Patrick Mahomes and they're really not very different. It's like the same amount of touchdowns, same amount of interceptions too. The yards is like literally like 20 yards apart. They're around like 800 yards without them in front of my eyes. His like percentage completion is like 65, like very, very similar. And Mahomes hasn't started the year like crazy, but like Russell Wilson's stats are way better than any point last year. But their defense has just melted away.
About to say that the Chiefs defense this year has really taken a leap and it's looking far more of an aggressive unit, and that's given the Chiefs much shorter fields compared to what they'd usually have if they had a piss poor Swiss cheese defense. But Denver just doesn't look like it's got a great deal.
And I enjoyed Bradley Chubb, by the way, having an absolute beast of a game against the team that freaking traded him out of there after the Wembley game. Like, That was nice to see.
Still, so funny though, isn't it? When you think of that trade that the 49ers made to get Trey Lance, ended up with the Dolphins getting Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Bradley Chubb.
Yeah. Mike McDaniel is thanking the Niners somewhere for that one.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I understand with them finding Brock Purdy's great, and it shows they've done really well to get him, but also they completely screwed the pooch of Trey Lance. So I know that Shanahan and Lynch have built a very good team and a very good program, but at the same time, you've got to look at that level of decision making and wonder about whether or not they are the safest hands for it going forwards.
But how many teams have got it wrong at QB? That's why it's so crazy.
The Bears have got it right. They're just doing everything wrong with the right guy.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, no. I don't think... I just feels just... He just can't... I don't think he's going to ever be a good enough passer.
But the point is that, like, Mike Vick was never a really good passer. He had a cannon of an arm.
He was at the Eagles.
Eagles sat him down and took away the running mobility as the game plan and turned him into a pocket QB that runs. This is my whole thing about someone like Justin Fields. You can start to like teach and implement that accuracy if you encourage him to sit in a pocket and throw. The trouble is that the Chicago Bears are taking an incredibly talented athlete, basing everything around his movement, not building up his essential skill set of actually reading defenses and being able to play the game and throw a ball accurately and deep and pick out targets and beat teams before a snap and slice defensives down the middle with his arm. And instead they're going, oh, well, just get out of jail and run, and then you'll get hit, and then you'll get beaten, battered and bruised. And meantime, we're still not going to do enough to win games. They're wasting an athlete in that position in that team.
I disagree, because if you look at some of the clips of some of the plays where he then runs forward, he had two receivers free in front of him in his eye line. He just missed them, didn't see them.
Well, he's also got better receivers this year, so you can't say that he does improve.
DJ Moore, but I would venture also to say that Chase Claypool has proven that he is absolutely fucking useless.
but he's at least played at a higher level than a lot of the other people that you've never heard of that playing wide receiver for the Bears. So he's had games when he was a Steeler where he was better.
Yeah,
you know, than they've ever been, is what I'm saying.
One of them was he got two end arounds and scored touchdowns from that. Hey, so, I mean, he wasn't even doing it as a receiver. So, yeah.
I'm not going to, like, bang the drum for Chase Claypool.
If you do, but I will slap it down pretty fast. Yeah. Because, again, there was another play this weekend where Claypool was one-on-one with a DB who was at least 6 inches shorter than him. And he just decides to fall backwards to catch it rather than high-pointing and jumping for it. You're 6'4". You're bigger than the guy. Just little jump and you get it. There's no problem. Easy completion. He doesn't do that.
You know,
simple shit.
You know the Chappelle Show sketch where it's the racial draft and the white people, the white delegation take Colin Powell, and he's like so excited to be like, "We the white delegation take Colin Powell," and everyone's like, "Oh, what the hell? What? Why? It doesn't mean anything." The Chicago Bears are like that with Cole Kmet, because he's a really good tight end, I think, and a really safe pair of hands. But he also shouldn't be like the second top player on your offense in terms of like being a threat. It's like, we the Chicago Bears, we have Cole Kmet. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, great. Ah, shit. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, the Bears, they're terrible. I guess we might not find out whether you're right about Justin Fields. I suspect that he's...
I think it's just going to be wasted. There's a potential player in there that won't ever get... They won't even try and get the best out of potential. They'll just go run. They're going to use him like a running back, basically.
I definitely don't think it's his fault, so I'm not going that far. I mean, sometimes it's you feel like they're part of the problem. I don't feel that. I mean,
if you want to talk bad quarterbacks, like we can go down south and talk about Atlanta.
Do you want to talk about Ridder? That's a good segue, isn't it? Jesus. Oh, so rough. I mean, I don't know how much they cut to the Falcons game on Red Zone.
Not much. There wasn't much to see.
There wasn't a lot going on.
Unless
Bijan had the ball. Well, Bijan barely made any yards this week because they just sold out on the run or against the run because they knew that Ridder with the ball in his hand wasn't going to do anything, which is a shame because it did seem like he took some real steps against Green Bay, like leading that comeback win. And he had a couple of longer drives where he was getting first down, getting a few in a row. And he was connecting with Drake London. He made a couple of throws. I mean, this week he did connect a little bit more with Pitts, who got 5 catches. But in general, he just holds on to the ball like so long. And like I've said it before on the podcast, like seeing like Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, like some of the best QBs ever, I'm so impressed with the things that they do, but also the things they don't do as well. Like they just don't take sacks and pressure. They'll just get rid of the ball when they feel it come in. And like someone like Ridder at completely the other end of the spectrum, he's just like, he knows the pressure's there. It's so frustrating. It's not like he's getting blindsided. He knows the pressure's there and he still holds on to it and takes the sack. And you're like, well, it could have been 3rd and 8, but now it's 3rd and 16 or whatever. And it's just like, you know, you're just putting yourself in so much trouble. It doesn't help that our offensive line can only run block. Their pass protection is awful. And I'd like to see the stats. I'd have to like dig them out online somewhere. But the stats for our offensive line in pass pro compared to run blocking, it must be like night and day. I feel like we're probably bottom 5 for pass pro and then like top 5 for running the ball. So yeah, it's pretty rough. I mean, I do feel for him, like, but I don't know. I'm frustrated because I think everybody saw it in the offseason, and from the like limited amount that we saw him last year, we were all saying, we were like, but they haven't got a QB. I don't think this guy's the fit. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, he's not, you know, it's like exactly what we said. And that's really frustrating when you've got a head coach and a GM who like aren't self-scouting. It's just weird. We shouldn't be in this position.
It's anyway, a distinct lack of forethought, upper level management.
I know.
Considering all the other pieces are potentially, offensive line needs work, obviously, but there's a lot of potential pieces there.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, just that offensive line wouldn't look so bad with the pass if they had a QB that could get the ball out quicker. You wouldn't even be thinking about it so much. So, yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, it's nice seeing Atlanta actually have a defense. Like the Lions, they really struggled for parts of that game. We didn't get like the actual stat line. I don't think we got a sack on Jared Goff, but he was under pressure a lot of that game, and he was actually playing really, really well. Mm. And they
didn't. Game where Reggie Bates got 2 interceptions.
No, that was Green Bay, I want to say. Or was that the first week? But he's got 3 interceptions. He got 1 against Goff.
Yeah, he's a great fucking player, that guy.
So that was a great signing. All of the signings are kind of paying off. Like Onyemata looks good. Calais Campbell had a bad miss where Jared Goff like juked him and ran it in. I don't know if they showed that on Red Zone. That was their last touchdown, the
Lions. Is that when he then threw it into the stands at the end?
Yeah. It was quite funny because Jared Goff is like, he should never get a rushing touchdown, really. Not a most mobile guy. But he did really well. He really sold the run. And then just Calais Campbell's mount of a guy who's been in the league for like 15 years just gets fooled. And he was so angry. Like the camera, I would not want to be in the room when they do the film breakdown the next day, because I think Calais Campbell's like fucking breaking like desks and like kicking off. So but it's cool. Like we've got a bit of a defense, and that has not happened in Atlanta in like 10 years. So.
There's still too many people for my liking riding this. Atlanta will be fine. Like you're coming into the London games, obviously this week, you got the early kickoff against Jacksonville at Wembley, which always is weird because teams travel. They come in the last day kind of possible. I think they're both getting in on the Friday. That's the only media availability this week going into it. So it does seem extremely odd that people are still riding high on the Falcons, because it's like, look at the defense. They've got Grady Jarrett. They've got Calais Campbell. It's like Calais Campbell is getting on now. We're not talking about like Calais Campbell Arizona years or something like that. We're talking about Calais Campbell as like the experience, bit like Fletcher Cox, in that you're happy that he's still producing, but he's not Fletcher Cox kind of thing.
No, he's slow now, but yeah.
And then there's nothing on offense. And Bijan Robinson, as Jazz mentioned, was the guy we saw the most of on Red Zone, and that was to provide like 30 yards of rushing. So yeah,
I mean, the positives to take out of it are the Saints, the Bucks, and the Panthers lost. the Panthers aren't going to be relevant, I don't think, in the South this year.
Andy Dalton and Thielen looked like a really nice combination last week.
Yeah, did he get over 100 yards?
Adam Thielen?
Thielen, yeah.
Yeah, 145 yeah. yards receiving, and Dalton threw for 361.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But they still lost, and like that's a good game for them. So like yeah. they're really going to struggle. The Saints lost to Green Bay, who we beat last week.
And have lost and they just Carr. Don't,
and they've lost Carr, which is massive, because Jameis Winston came in and did very little.
Garbage.
Yep.
A big reason why they lost that game, because they should have been able to close it out. So I don't know. It's still the South. Like, and you, the Lions are one of the best teams we're playing this year. You look at our schedule.
Yeah,
that really is one of our toughest games. And the Lions are not a powerhouse. So like losing to the Lions, I thought we'd lose going into it. You know, I'd bet on the Lions in my bet anyway. And so it's not that much of a surprise to me. I'm surprised we didn't score a touchdown. That's always really upsetting as a football fan.
Yep.
You go four quarters and you don't get a touchdown. But I don't feel that differently about the Falcons now than I did a week ago. So like they could go, they'll give Jacksonville a hard time. I'd be surprised if it wasn't a close game. So, you know, and we'll still, I think we'll be talking about the Falcons in December because the division's garbage.
And the Jags just had a weird one as well, obviously losing to the Texans, which like...
Or maybe the Texans are finding something.
They
maybe.
Always lose to them though. 9 out of 10. I had to go back and look at it. 9 out of 10. They've beaten them. That's crazy.
It's like the Jags beating the Colts, isn't it, at home?
Yeah.
Well, Colts are... Well, when the Colts play Lucas Oil.
Jazz, do you know who leads the league in passing yards, passing touchdowns, only has 2 interceptions?
Is it Kirk Cousins?
It is Kirk Cousins. Just wondering if yep. that surprised you at all.
He's... What's the team's record?
0-3.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, you're 0-3. Who cares?
I think genuinely them losing Dalvin Cook might be the dumbest thing ever, because Andre Mattison, I've never thought he's like a Cook replacement. I thought
he was going to be fine. I'm totally wrong on that. Yeah. I thought he was going to be fine.
He's had fumble problems previously. Yeah. Like on the, when he steps in for Dalvin, yeah. he has had those sorts of problems. And Dalvin Cook is one of the best running backs in the league when he's healthy. I think they just were maybe didn't want to pay a guy that they thought would be healthy, but they don't have a blocking scheme that's good enough to run anybody in.
But you say that, Ollie, but he hasn't been delivering for the Jets.
No,
I know they've got all
the
kinds of problems, but...
I mean, did you see what happened this week? An unknown player threw a football at Robert Saleh's head in training this week, and a brawl broke out and people had to be separated, which not only implies that players were involved, but it implies that Robert Saleh went to beat the living hell out of somebody as well.
Someone threw a football and it hit him on the head, probably the intended target. So I'm guessing it wasn't Wilson who threw that ball there.
Well, maybe it was.
He's only got the
accuracy. He was aiming at the coach next to him. What you said?
Or maybe he was aiming at a receiver he thought he saw over the side, but it wasn't actually there.
Well, I'm not sure that would result in a brawl if it was an accidental thing.
Yeah, Wesley Steinberg, an anonymous player from the Jets, threw a football at Robert Saleh's head in practice earlier today, and a brawl broke out before players and coaches stepped in.
Yeah. Jeez, the ship's going down pretty.
I mean, you saw the things on the side where I don't know which players they were, but they were saying how he can't throw the ball about Zach Wilson. There's a Jets player on the sideline saying that. You just think that's not what you need to see.
Oh, man.
But you know what? I have got a feeling about the Jets this week. Because you know what? Zach Wilson's got a reputation with the ladies, right? Mm-hmm. And they're taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. And you know who's probably going to be in New York to cheer her man on?
No.
His old deep state herself.
No, you're wrong.
Deep state.
No. Let's get this straight.
Yeah, she needs to be like 30 years older.
She's too young. Yes, she's too young. It's not going to happen. Now, maybe Kelsey's mum. Maybe she got it going on, like Stacey's mum.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it goes into.
Yeah, well,
maybe,
I'm sure Taylor Swift's mum's probably still got it. It's good genes. So let's
find that out, shall we?
Bring her in.
Taylor Swift mum.
Okay, this... Dave, you wanted to do things that have surprised us and things that have...
Well, to be honest, we've kind of covered most of it in our shambolic, rambling, like, different way.
The Indianapolis Colts and the Ravens was unbelievable, because that was a game of two teams that just didn't want to win in overtime, and I thought that was destined.
So funny. Yeah. And you saying the Vikings were the Chargers of the NFC was
so apt.
Really nicely put. And it's like once you said it, I was like, oh yeah, they have been for as long as I've been
really
watching football.
Yeah. They find weird and wonderful ways with their coaching staff to lose games when they have talented rosters. Like
that's so funny. They had 11 one score wins last season, and then they've lost 3 1 score games already this year. So that's like karma is getting them as well as Sean Payton.
Do you think anything is like settling? Because everybody says like the first 2 weeks you ignore and all that kind of stuff. So
we just have to react what we can see. I mean, I'm sure that some of these teams that are like, I think that the overreaction is going to be like some of these, like the Texans and like the Cardinals, like teams like that have outperformed. I'm sure they'll end up breaking.
Yeah, I'm worried.
And they'll
worried
be
about
bad
that,
by the end of the season.
That Arizona win, I'm a bit scared of, because that's one of those Dallas wake up moments, because they did look great for the first 2 weeks. And I know they've lost Diggs in the secondary, which I don't think is actually like, I mean, Jazz, you've never been that high on him in terms of him being too aggressive in that deep back position. But
in fairness, it works out for interceptions, which is great. But if you actually look at now, of course, you can look at stats or game tape. If you look at the stats, he does get thrown on and passed on quite a lot. It's that risk reward. And because he was a receiver in college before they changed him to a DB, that's why he catches the ball. Yeah. He's got hands. It's that simple.
But I do think that that's the, we can't coast. Maybe they did go into Arizona thinking this is a trash team, as you were talking about earlier, Dave, that like there's not that big a difference between all these teams. So I expect a big response from the Cowboys, to be honest. That was surprising, but I also think that's actually quite a good loss to have at one point. It's a bit like the Eagles one to Washington. Like, you don't want that to happen. It shouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. But that's a like, let's not take anything for granted at this point, which is why they continued to destroy the Niners, even when they were down to like a freaking no QB Christian McCaffrey in the NFC Championship game. Because it's like, let's not take our foot off the gas and have any sort of problems. Let's just go.
So we've covered the Eagles, the Falcons, and some other bits in between. I'd like to say a little bit about the Steelers.
Can you admit that Kenny Pickett is absolute pure garbage and it's the Chase Claypool of quarterbacks?
It's the offensive coordinator.
Okay, it's not Kenny Pickett's fault. All right,
fair enough. So if you're in shotgun and 90% of the time you're in shotgun, you pass, team's going to know you're going to pass. If you're under center and 85% of the time you run the ball, well, guess what the other team's thinking you're going to do? And that's the current statistics for the Steelers offense. So where's the balance? Where's the scheming? Where's the intelligence with all that? And how can any player or any offense even have a chance to beat a defense if the defense already knows it's a run because you're under center, or they know it's going to be a pass because you're in shotgun? There's no motion being used, so you can't give the QB any help with the reads, like you see in the Shanahan offense, the McDaniels offense, the Andy Reid offense. Even with Jared Goff's offense and McVay's offense, you have them all moving around.
Is it being kept that simple because of the limited ability of the man?
Yeah,
at the
and
center?
He's a young QB as well.
Let's not start throwing in loads of motions. Let's not have you
he's
dropping
been shit
back
for
out
the last
center.
5 years, Matt Canada. It's been woeful ever since he's been OC.
Hey, Jazz, let's not blame Canada now.
Well, I mean, if we want to blame Canada for anything, we should probably blame Canada for giving a Nazi a standing ovation in government. That's
oh, my God.
All right,
yeah.
I guess we're taking a... All right, we'll find an
Let's
edit
take a left
around
turn.
This. Yep, all right.
I did message our two Canadian friends that went to Aberystwyth with us about that.
What did they say? Though. Of interest?
They sent me some neo-Nazi imagery. So I think that, it's just that the case is really building that Canada's got a problem.
Growing, yeah.
There's
growing
more stuff on that we should probably have off the pod. And
yeah, let's do that
record.
Off the pod, shall we? Because we're talking about, Kenny Pickett.
Just so everyone
being
knows,
rubbish.
All opinions on this podcast are in no way associated with Verge Magazine. There are our own and no one else's.
And Dre's. I just want to put him in it because I'm tired.
Oh, yeah. What,
I was trying to absolve them of all the.
The Giants were on my list of things I'm not surprised about that they're bad.
Let's come to that in a second.
Speaking of things
let's
I'm
finish...
surprised whoa, about, whoa, whoa. Before we count the Giants, sorry. There was a rumor that the Jets might contact the Giants about Daniel Jones.
That's surprising.
That is very surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's better than what they've got, but
by how much?
Yeah.
There's also rumors they might ask Kirk Cousins if he wants to leave.
Now that would be so smart.
I mean, that would work.
If I was Kirk Cousins, I would be out of Minnesota in a heartbeat. And his stock has never been higher since he hit the free agency market and went to Minnesota and got all the guaranteed money. Because he does lead the league in touchdowns and yards right now. He does look like one of the few, along with Justin Jefferson, obviously, coherent and able to execute pieces of that offense.
They wouldn't have the money for him, surely, even though I know Aaron Rodgers didn't take
Have the picks?
They wouldn't have the money or the picks, would they, to do something like that? Or are we talking about next year when he's a free agent?
That's just a rumor I heard.
If you're the Jets, you don't move for next year because you're in a now or never sort of.
Well, I assume they're kind of hoping that they might have Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers will be back next year.
Yeah,
but it'll be garbage.
Be a shame if we missed out on that whole experience. But
anyway, Jazz, sorry. Let's go back to the Giants. No,
Steelers. Yeah, so the Steelers. So your young quarterback who looks really average is not nothing's his fault.
The play calling. Big Ben said the same thing. And granted, the last year he had, his arm was a bit defunct, but he still was Big Ben. And you could tell the play calling's been just useless. That's the problem with it. And if you tip your hand like that before you start even giving them motions, what's the point? What's the point in playing? You're not making anyone think. They're just reacting before the ball's even snapped, knowing what's going to be. How can you play that? Doesn't make sense.
I just still haven't seen enough from Kenny Pickett anyway, in terms of accuracy, ability.
Kenny Pickett and Andy Reid offense, I think you get a very different outcome.
Yeah, but that's like saying you can put Raheem Mostert in a Mike McDaniel offense and he looks amazing. I mean, he does, but like I wouldn't say that Raheem Mostert is the best.
Then is it the player or is it the scheme?
Well, I think there's always a combination of
the two. So is Tom Brady a scheme quarterback? Probably.
Probably not, because he went to Tampa and won, so you know. He's all right.
Boy took his scheme with him.
Bury that narrative.
Right. Giants, go on.
Well, they're rubbish.
I rudely interrupted.
Well, they're rubbish.
They're absolutely rubbish.
Yeah, it's true.
They are one of the worst teams to watch in the NFL. They got completely destroyed by the Niners and didn't put up a hope in hell of getting into that game. Giants fans still have like an emotional loss towards that Cardinals game because it took them until the fourth quarter to get back into it, and they were terrible in that too. Unless, like, the Cardinals aren't the worst thing that will ever be in the NFL, but they're not a good team still this year. Mm-hmm. And they got completely hammer and tonged on the opening night or opening weekend of the season.
Things are just going to get worse for them as well. They've still, like, in that division, they're the worst team. I mean, that's right now, they're the worst team.
The other thing is that the Giants are, they're a 1-2 team that feel like an 0-3 team. And that's almost worse than being 0-3. Because you don't even recognize the fact that they've got a win. You're just like, this is a terrible team, I'm writing them off. As opposed to if you're 0-3, it's like, ooh, well, you know, now we don't care about the season. Let's see what we can do to try and improve on it. The Giants almost have a hope in hell of still making the playoffs after three games, which everybody, I guess, does. But they don't have an attitude around them or an aura around them that has any conviction in anything they've done, because nobody can really remember the fact that they've even won a game.
Well, it's just not surprising. I think, like, we're rarely right on this podcast, and we're never right altogether. But we all were in the off season, like, I don't know about these Giants. Like,
there's a lot of talk, making, but not much.
Yeah, they're making changes, and they brought in some people, but whatever.
Yeah,
like, they're still the same, man.
And they've lost Barkley for a few weeks as well.
Yeah, I know, so that is sad. I do like watching Barkley. Yeah. So. But,
I mean,
yeah,
there are some bad injuries going around the place, which is a shame. Like, Burrow,
it's a bummer, isn't it?
Being injured, like, he's just a shadow of what he's been the last couple of
Burrow,
years.
The Burrow one is genuinely really annoying, because not only is he great to watch, but like the Bengals are like a nice frisky team that you just want to be there at the end of the year, like amongst everyone else.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Like, he really limped his way through that game, didn't he? I don't know what they're going to have to do. Like, are they better just to sit him? and like let his, it's his calf muscle, isn't it? Like let it heal properly and then
that's
put him back
the players
in.
Say as well.
Just take the hit, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. Even if you lose two games or three games, you'd be better off having a
healthy Burrow later Burrow. In the season where it's more important. That's literally what Jamar Chase has been saying.
Yeah.
Oh, the Tennessee Titans might actually be the worst thing in football as well. They're ugly, ugly, ugly to watch.
Oh my God, they're so bad.
Considering
to watch. You've
got
Jesus Christ,
a talented guy in Hopkins who, yeah, okay, maybe on the wrong end of things and all that kind of stuff. You've got Derrick Henry who's been run into the ground, so, and he can't continually carry this team forever long. But the fact that they've made mistakes in drafting quarterbacks so badly, like Denver bad last year, and they're back with Tannehill once again, and he's struggling at this point. They've drafted badly at receiver as well. They are one of the worst offenses to watch in this whole league. And only because Derrick Henry's there and there's a play, big play moment potential, are they worth watching. They're awful.
It was quite funny.
Properly rubbish.
I love that you put a double exclamation point on that. I was messaging our friend Prince, he's a Titans fan, when we were both watching on Sunday, and we were just comparing. It was like our messages were just like, oh my God, we can't move the ball. And then he was like, oh fuck, we can't move the ball. And it just, it literally just the whole text chain just goes on for like us doing that for 45 minutes of comparing how absolutely dreadful our offenses are.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's sad, but yeah, whatever.
By the way, Dave, congratulations.
Unofficial winners.
Haven't honoured you because we didn't have a podcast last week, but you did.
It's also his second
have
bet.
A second bet.
First one died.
I was going to say I didn't bring it up because it wasn't a podcast week because we missed a week and I lost my bet on a Thursday. So then scrambled and made a second bet. So it's got two asterisks on it. But hey, I mean, it's, you know, let's build some momentum here. You know, it's a win. I got £40. It's big money for Dave. You know, I mean, me and Jazz were messaging about maybe me going up to betting £2, and I was like, "Whoa, Jazzy!" Like,
well, I said, "Get one more win, and then think about it."
So I don't know, but it's, you know, it's nice. Thanks, Ollie. Thanks. You know, it feels good. Feels good to get a win, and maybe you'll feel that way one day as well.
Speaking of which, have you ever actually won one of these, Ollie?
Not a six team. I've only ever won twice in the wild card round with like the four games.
Oh, so they don't really count. Okay.
Yeah.
So no, Dave now won two, isn't that right?
I won two. I won in our like quickly when we first started doing the podcast.
You won the first
like,
one, yeah.
3 or 4 years ago and then
yeah.
And then didn't win.
Like, I think I've won four.
Do COVID wins even count, Dave? I don't know.
Like, it was pre-COVID. He won pre-COVID.
I did have a win.
Fair enough.
Yeah, because we started Thanksgiving before COVID began.
Yeah.
And Dave and I both won in that season.
In that season, fair.
Yeah. And I feel like I've started the year well. I got 5 of 6 in my first week as well. I got real close. Mm. Can we talk about Jazz's heartbreaking loss in his bet as well?
So bad.
Who scored
all he
you
needed
in the
was
end?
The Jets.
The Jets. Randall Cobb had just picked that ball up as it hit his
Jesus.
Hands.
But it wasn't so much the Hail Mary, Jazz. It was like they had
all the rest of
quite
it?
A few chances in that fourth quarter to get it done. Oh.
Yep. Yeah, they did. And yeah, it was really, I mean, even just when they got the ball back with 2 minutes to go, I was like, oh, 2 minutes to go. This is great. They got a chance. They're going to do it.
Yeah.
And fourth down in 10 yards. Oh, I'm going to throw a 1 yard pass to the back in the flat and gets tackled for a 1 yard gain. That's not what you do. If you're going to be on fourth down anyway, just throw it up. If it's going to be picked off, it's the same as a punt.
Yeah.
Idiot. Idiot. Yeah. See, that cost me £790, the Jets screwing up, because I had all the other five.
It's a big one.
That was a big one that sucks to lose. But of course, it only cost me £15 of my bet. But
at least the nice thing is you don't actually have to watch any NFL this weekend because it'll be the Ryder Cup, and then you can just enjoy...
the Ryder Cup will finish, and it's
straight
into red zone.
Yeah, but you can just enjoy the celebration.
Your eyeball's going to be bleeding.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys want decent bets?
I got some bets. Well, I've got a bet, obviously, just the one. Sorry, Dave. I'm backing the Falcons to beat the Jags in London.
I mean,
it's an early game too.
Yeah, I know. Well, I already defeated the Thursday curse.
That feels personal.
Because I've won a Thursday game already, so I'm not scared about early games.
The Thursday curse is always there.
No, I won it.
Sometimes you'll dodge it. Sometimes you dodge it. It's fine. Every other time you were not going to dodge it. It's just that's what it is.
I've done Thursday as well, so I.
Okay.
I won my other Thursday game. I'm, you know, whatever.
See, how are you coming at me?
Hey, if you guys want to mess around with the curse, you feel free. I'm not here.
Hey, look, Jazzy, I'm riding high, baby. I got 40 pounds. I could go and buy, like, you know, a really shitty meal somewhere.
Or 2 24 packs of beer.
Anyway.
So I'm taking the Falcons.
Oh, no. We just did bottles of vodka and nuts, didn't we? That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
You get yourself a nice bottle of vodka and, like, 5 packs of nuts.
Oh, maybe 10 packs of nuts, baby.
Well, I'm big packs of nuts.
Depends how nice a bottle of vodka you're getting.
I'll get some
Grey
Goose and I'll get some mixed nuts. I get loads
of mixed
nuts.
For 40 quid? You're not getting that many mixed nuts with a bottle of Grey Goose if you only won 40 quid.
Hey, hang on. A packet of mixed nuts is going to cost me about £1 in Tesco's.
Oh,
right?
Well, we're talking big pack. Big
yeah,
pack,
we're talking big
packs.
Bowl of nuts.
Well, how many nuts are in there? That's what it counts.
I mean,
mate,
how many
all
nuts
of
are
these
in the packet
nuts?
Is a different conversation.
I reckon I could get about 400 to 500 nuts and a bottle of vodka. And that's a good
Grey
weekend.
Goose.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly, absolutely. So that's like 2 big bags of nuts.
Barely 2 big bags of nuts, I reckon. And a 400 nuts. I bought a few more than like 200 nuts in a big bag.
You get like a big bag of, like, say, like KP salted nuts or like a supermarket own brand of nuts. There's probably 200 in that bag.
Yeah, maybe there's more than that.
Maybe more than that.
1,000 nuts
in a bottle of Grey Goose.
I kind of feel like it's now David's responsibility to go out and find this information.
You know what's so retarded is I'm actually thinking about buying a big bag of nuts and then sitting there counting.
Yeah.
Like an absolute fucking loser.
Yeah, if I had the chance to do this weekend,
I would
do that.
If you see me next podcast looking off screen the entire time, I'm not looking at my notes, I'm not looking at my bet, I'm counting nuts on my desk.
That's a nice come down from Red Zone, though. All the intensity of Red Zone, and then you're just counting nuts on the side.
Like after the Falcons have got beaten by like 3 touchdowns at the 2:30 game, and I'm just crying, just like
taking yourself at the moment. Yeah,
7 hours of constant misery. Thanks, Scott Hansen.
Well, Dave counts his nuts.
Oh, Jesus. Right, Ollie.
Sorry,
so
Ollie.
You bet against the Falcons and completely screwed us.
No,
yeah,
I've bet
on
with the Falcons. I'm taking the Falcons to beat the Jags.
Yeah. But that's screwed us. Right, you know that's the reverse curse, right?
And then I'm taking... I am going out on a limb here because I've just slagged them off and said they're the worst team to watch in the NFL. But I'm going to take the Titans to beat the Bengals because Joe Burrow ain't Joe Burrow. And I think there's an upset
to be had. Yeah, I was considering that one too, but I just think it was too much of a coin flip to back it.
I'm taking the Rams...
The spread wasn't good enough.
...to beat the Colts.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm taking the Dolphins to beat the Bills. I'll ride that one.
Oh, I just avoided that. I couldn't pick it.
I like. Let's get brazen with that. I'm taking the Bucks to beat the Saints. Because
fair. I mean,
Mike Evans had that little moment of I'll catch everything, and if he can continue that, Mike Evans is still going to have 5
Mike
touchdowns
Evans on a wire
and 1,000 yards this year. It's going to keep coming. And I'm taking the Eagles to beat the Commanders because that's the game that screwed us last year. And I'm
easy.
I just want to back the Eagles like with hope in my heart this year.
Yeah.
So that's getting me 75-1.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Actually, I thought it'd be a bit lower than that. It's definitely lower than mine.
It's good.
Higher than mine. Sorry. Higher.
It's that Titans one that's a big kicker.
That helps. The Dolphins also helps, and the Rams helps.
They're
too.
Only minus -2, though.
Yeah, that's true. So the Rams are 1-1 to beat the Colts. Yeah. So
I have taken a couple that are similar to you, Ollie. I've taken the Rams and the Dolphins as well, because I think they're good underdog shouts. Taking the Ravens to beat the Browns, because Watson is crap, and they're also another underdog. Taking the Steelers to beat the Texans. Didn't trust the spread on that one. I've taken the Patriots to cover 7 points against the Cowboys because I think that there's Zeke and Will Greer on the Pats, so they'll have an inside scoop on what that Cowboys offense is going to do and look like and all the defensive signals too, so that may make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taken the Raiders +5.5 against the Chargers because that should be a close game and the Chargers like to make games close.
Well, if Jimmy Garoppolo's not playing... That ain't gonna be close.
Who's their backup?
We'll wait and see. Still at 5.5.
Stidham?
Well, he knows McDaniel's
thing. He's serviceable. He's had a few starts.
No, he's not actually. But there was somebody that was brought in. Jared Stidham was brought in this week for somebody. I can't remember now. Anyway,
that
sorry,
gets me the odds of 58-1.
Nice. Which, I've gone.
A £15 bet gets me £882 in return if it comes off.
Ooh, daddy. Yeah. I have gone with the traditional £1 bet.
I think about to say one as team is, bet.
As is my want. Can you imagine after I win one, I'm just like, nah, I'm just gonna keep it simple, guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm taking the Eagles to win. I'm gonna get £1.20. I've gone so different to you guys. I've got, which worries me, I've got the Browns to win. Because even though I really hate the Browns now because of what they did with Watson, I feel like their defense is surging and savage. The Ravens have not figured things out on offense as they proved against the Colts. So I've got the Browns winning that one. I've got the Lions winning. That's my Thursday night game. I've got the Lions beating the Packers because the Lions, they were,
I like
some
the Lions
of the things they did,
Lambeau.
Some of the things they did were so impressive. I know the Falcons offense is weak, but the way that they were on defense was pretty incredible. Like the scheming, they were just moving guys all over the place. They were so fast. And Jared Goff had a really good game as well. So Lions to win. I got the Bengals -2 against the Titans because even though the Bengals are banged up, I still think their defense is good enough that the Titans might not get to 10
Ooh,
points.
Yeah, I don't know if their defense is as good as it should be because of the losses they had at like Reggie Bates and Von Bell and...
It's still performed really well this year.
Yeah,
they've still got a really meaty pass rush.
Boss. Everyone talks about Mike Bienemy, but Lou Anarumo's up there in those like underrated. Should be a.
Do you mean Eric Bienemy?
Eric Bienemy, sorry, yeah.
Who the hell's Mike Bienemy?
Mike Bienemy.
You're thinking about Mike McDaniel. You got him on your brain. You got
love,
a new
I
boy
love
crush.
Him so much. Yeah, he's great.
Did you see when he ran off away from the camera guy?
Nah, whatever. That's
I like.
How much?
I like
how
the
much
dad
do you
jokes.
Want? How much do you want Justin Herbert to go down to Miami in some kind of mega trade, Ollie? Were you like that? That would definitely become your second team then, wouldn't
Jalen,
it?
I love you at the moment, but if Justin Herbert became available, I would want the Philadelphia Eagles to go all in and just go and get him. I would toss Jalen Hurts to the side for Justin Herbert in a heartbeat. And
savage.
this whole thing
took
behind
to,
me would just be Oregon
Super Bowl,
Eagles. Yeah, yeah, blah, 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 blah. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah. Right, I've got the Vikings -3.5 against the Panthers because they're just terrible. Yeah. And Kirk Cousins is still... They're like, they shouldn't be 0-3 with how like reasonable they've played. So they're not going to keep losing games, I think. So the Vikings will... But they should win that one big time. I've got the Cardinals +14 against the Niners.
They're
frisky, and I was like, if it was even 12, then I wouldn't have taken it. But I was like, 14 is quite a lot,
and it's a divisional game.
I was like, it's a divisional game. It's quite a lot. Like, I'm like the 49ers.
That defense is pretty special.
They look the best team in the NFL, man.
Two scores, they might be all right. And then the Seahawks, I've got beaten the woeful.
So you're
Giants.
Taking Monday night and Thursday night.
That yeah, man. Bold. I'm going against all the rules and I'm getting 42-1 for that.
Mm.
So we'll see.
We'll see indeed.
If those Giants screw you over, that'll be.
That's going to be upsetting. If I get there and then the Giants get me. I mean, to be fair, I'm talking a lot of trash about them this year, more than usual. So
I like it. Keep it coming.
It would be revenge, but.
I think it's a great time for Detroit to go into Green Bay as well. I know Green Bay have had like, they're basically the comeback kings this year so far of being beaten down in every game.
I'll be super surprised. I've been quite impressed with the Packers so far, to be fair. Like, they're still like quite a serviceable team, but I don't know. The Lions just, I think they're just better in every way.
And
so that they should beat the Packers.
You're not going in, like, obviously it didn't affect them at the end of last year in that final game of the season, but you're not going into Lambeau in the snow and Arctic tundra of a team that play indoors. You're going in late September. It's probably going to be okay in Green Bay. Like, it might be a bit wet, but that's about it. Mm. Although, has David got Montgomery back? Don't think he will he?
No, but they had. Who was running?
Has David got Montgomery back?
No, is David Montgomery back?
Oh, I thought you said, has David got Montgomery back?
No. It's David Montgomery back.
You know, I know. That's why I was getting confused as to why you'd said that. Long day, bit of red wine, you know.
It's been a long day. It's been a long week, man. A lot of
the
work.
Gibbs played quite well against the Falcons. I mean, the Green Bay have got a better defense, to be fair, so maybe he
that'd
won't.
Be the only thing. If you lose that balance with the Lions, I think it's a bit tougher for Goff. Suddenly,
but
not...
Marvin Jones, Josh Reynolds, and St. Brown, like
still my favorite names.
I like it. It's a good call.